AT&T, I am so cheesed off right now, okay? And yes, that's a word. Why? Because this, which camera are we at? This one?
That one.
This is my iPhone 7 Plus, which has been trusty. Many a Z-Dog Incident Report Live has come from this here phone. It still works. It also still has a cellular signal. That's fantastic. Today, this arrived. This is the iPhone X. Apple hates it when you call it that. They're like, call it the 10. I'm like, I'm gonna call it what I want.
Yeah, it's the X. X sounds cooler anyway.
Hey, X gonna give it to you.
I got one too, but Logan doesn't.
Logan doesn't because Logan's what we in the business call poor.
Yeah, he's poor.
And we're gonna rich shame him with these fancy expensive devices that neither me nor Tom can actually afford, but have on layaway.
That's right.
Which is the AT&T equivalent of an installment plan.
This cost me 0.01 Bitcoin. Which is a lot.
So anyways, I got it set up. I started transferring the files. I did all that. Couldn't activate the cellular. Go to AT&T.com/activate. It says this phone is not eligible to activate. Try to do it on the thing. Can't do it on the thing. So I have no cell signal, but I have everything else. And this one has cell signal and nothing else. But check this out. You guys want to see Face ID in action? Watch this. How does it work, Tom Heineber? Do I just look at it?
You just look at it, but I don't know that you're gonna be able to show it to them in a demonstrable fashion.
Nothing's happening. Okay, I'll click the side button, and this thing turns on. And now it's locked. Now if I go, whoop, it unlocks. And then you just go, flute, and there we are.
That seems like more work than just using your thumbprint, Z.
You're more work than using your thumbprint.
Logan was like, damn, man, now we won't be able to dispute credit card charges because they'll have a picture of your face at the moment of purchase. And I was like, that's a good point.
I never thought about Logan Stewart. This is why we try not to think about these things. Let me pull up y'all's comments because we're going to talk about Wikipedia today because there was an interesting study came out of Canada, our most communist 51st state. And
I hate Canada.
I love Canada. What
They're
are you talking
worst.
About? I actually really love Canada.
Bunch of snow Mexicans.
I've never heard that.
I think that was a South Park thing, wasn't it?
Canada's is, man. Anyway, continue.
No, I can't now. Now I'm real interested in Canada. All right, here we go. We got your comments. I cannot wait until I go off the grid. P.O. Box and carrier pigeon, Jules Marie. So anyways, the thing about this phone compared to this, let's go to the right cam here. Logie, let's go to the close-up cam. All right, you see that? So different screen sizes. This one was supposed to be bigger overall, but which one feels bigger to you? I still think this one feels bigger, my 7 Plus. So I have yet to fall in love with this iPhone X, but you never know. Now, of course, I can't use it as a phone because AT&T won't activate it. AT&T, hit a brother up. I'm an influencer. You don't want me to say something bad. You don't care, do you? You don't care because everyone says bad stuff about you and it doesn't affect you at all because you're practically a monopoly, except for Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and whatever that weird Chinese...
Boost!
Boost! Is Boost a thing?
Yeah.
All right. Let's read some comments and then we'll go into the show. Mike Robinson has Melanie Skies says, how rude. Love you guys. I love that. That's the oxymoronic sort of truth of it. The ruder we are, the more people love us.
Well, they're our northern cousins and they live in the snow, you know?
Listen, I've been to, unlike you two, I've been to Canada. Actually, have you been to Canada too?
I would never go to Canada. Yeah, I've been to Canada.
They won't let him back in the U.S. That's the thing. He's afraid about the whole
bird. I went to Niagara Falls when I was a little kid, and I ate in that stupid spinning tower restaurant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? How romantic, Tom Heineber.
It was
an eight-year-old Tom Heineber.
I was adorable, yeah.
You were adorable. What happened to you, man? It's like 50 Cent said, you know? You know, you damn, what? Homie. In elementary, you were the man, homie. What the fuck happened to you?
Why don't you tell us about Wikipedia,
all right,
bro?
Come check on. This out, guys.
Let's get some learning done, Z.
I got hit up on InstaChat, i.e. Facebook messages, by a cat who is a doctor in Canada. And his name is Samir Grover, which is a super Canadian name. It's actually one of the most common Canadian names. There are so many Samir Grovers that if you yell, Samir Grover, in a crowded Toronto street, 20, what did you call them? Snow Mexicans?
Snow Mexicans.
Will turn around and acknowledge the thing. Well, why does that feel vaguely racist to me, Tom Hunger?
I don't know, because Mexicans are just people that live in Mexico and Canada's in the snow and we share a border with both. It's a good joke and it's not racist.
We need to build a northern wall.
I've been saying that and so has Lord Vader. He thinks that Trump is barking up the wrong wall. He needs to build it across the northern border because we could keep people like Alanis Morissette out. Nickelback could be prevented from entering the U.S.
Jay Biebs.
Jay Biebs out. How many times have you seen Bieber try to jump that wall and there's no wall and he just walks across and does his thing here and hurts people's lives? Speaking of which, we reposted Treat Yourself, which is our Justin Bieber parody about opioid addiction. I highly recommend you watch and share. That being said, Samir Grover sent me an article that he and some other colleagues wrote and was published in JMIR Medical Education, which is an obscure northern journal of ill repute. I actually have no idea. It's probably a perfectly legitimate journal.
Bro, how come we don't write science papers? We're all colleagues.
Okay, a couple things. You and I are not colleagues. Number next, because that involves a degree of effort, peer review, and scientific undertaking that is not in our DNA to do, Tom Heinberg.
That's true.
Although we could publish, like Logan could publish technical journals on Wirecast-related Facebook streaming failures, among other things. Anyway, so this article is entitled Comparison of the Impact of Wikipedia Up-to-Date. For those of you who don't know, Up-to-Date is a Wolters Kluwer piece of software that, as its name implies, is in fact the up-to-date, constantly updated archive of medical knowledge that many healthcare providers rely on for reference, including me. I have taught on the show based on stuff I've learned on Up-to-Date. And actually, we talked about Up-to-Date the other day with Dr. Mike, Mikhail Varshavsky, a young celebrity doc and the sexiest doc alive. And we were talking about how does he research stuff? And he says, Up-to-Date, which some specialists I've talked to take a shit on Up-to-Date. And they're like, I know more than Up-to-Date. I'm like, well, I hope so. You're a goddamn specialist. But don't take a shit on people using Up-to-Date as a resource because that's how we learn. And it is full of references in itself. So if you want to dig into the primary references, you can. That's the magic of Up-to-Date. And so comparison of Wikipedia Up-to-Date and a digital textbook. Now, I don't know what this digital textbook is. I don't even know what a digital textbook is. Are you talking about like Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine Online? I don't know. But apparently there are these things, digital textbooks. On short-term knowledge acquisition among medical students, randomized control trial, already good, of three web-based resources. And this is what they did. They were noticing that a lot of medical students were using Wikipedia. And Tom, you were saying in college now, because I missed the Wikipedia thing in college because I'm old AF and I trained in the 90s. In Wikipedia now, the college professors say you can't use Wiki as a citation.
That was every class I ever took was Wikipedia is not a source, people.
Lies.
Can't use Wikipedia. And then we just use it anyway.
They use it anyways. Yeah. Because they
And you just make up a source.
You got to understand, Tom doesn't care. Okay, by the way, here's the camera. How Inception is that? It's a pretty good camera. I just thought you should see it. iPhone X. The main reason I keep saying iPhone X is I want random non-medical people to tune into this cast thinking they're going to learn something important about the iPhone X, which, by the way, Apple would prefer you call it the 10. But since Steve Jobs would say, call it what you want, I'm going to call it what I want, which is the iPhone X. What were we talking about, Tom Heinberg? The article.
People are saying in the comments, no, Wiki is not a source, so suck it.
Wiki is not, is it not a source? So here's what we're talking about in this article. So the article studied in a randomized way, can't be blinded because you're going to know exactly what happened. This is what they did. They took first and second year medical students and they gave them a pretest of questions in a multiple choice questionnaire of 25 questions emulating a Canadian medical licensing examination. So question one was like, where's your toque, eh? And question two was like, have you ever had poutine, eh? And question three was, you know, look at my photograph. Which great Canadian band sang that song? And it, multiple choice. So,
by the way, I hear it's really hard to get into Canada. Is that your experience?
Get into Canada?
Yeah, like if you're going up there for work, if you're on like a 3-day work visa or whatever, it's like they harass you at the border.
Because
they're so liberal and they just like open borders for everybody.
I don't know, man. All I know is I was afraid I was going to get racially profiled going into Vancouver because of my bald head and my olive complecticles.
I'm pretty sure it's true. Like, even if you have a DUI, you can't just go to Canada. You have to, like, have special written permission and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They're not down with people being dicks up there. You got to be really nice.
Polite.
And progressive.
You know, I once had a Canadian mounted police officer tell me, hey, you know, you might be being a dick in a no-dick zone right now, okay? And I don't know what kind of accent that was, but that's how he talked. I swear to God. Anyway, so this article then said, okay, 25 questions emulating a Canadian medical licensing examination. And during that, during the initial take of this test, the applicants, the participants in the trial took notes on what they didn't know and what they needed to research. So they're like, okay, I better check. I better look up this. I better look up that. I don't know what that was. I have no idea what this is. Then they were randomized to one of three groups. They could either use Wikipedia exclusively, a digital textbook exclusively, or UpToDate exclusively when researching the answers to the questions they took notes on. Then they would take the test again. And the researchers then studied how well did they do between the three groups. And it was quite fascinating because the primary measure of outcome was knowledge acquisition as measured by post-test scores. So short-term knowledge acquisition. Guess who won? The Wikipedia group. So the students who used Wiki were statistically significantly more likely to score higher on the post-test than those who used the digital textbook. Now, they were also better than the UpToDate group in a trend, but it didn't reach statistical significance. So UpToDate and Wiki were statistically no different, but there was a trend to improvement in the Wiki group. And UpToDate had a trend in being better than the digital textbook, but it didn't reach statistical significance. So the one that reached absolute statistical significance was Wikipedia as the winner. What? And this made everyone go, wait a minute, could we be taking a shit on Wikipedia prematurely? Because there's something about it that young medical students are learning in a way that they're actually able to do better on these tests. And the question is it real knowledge? Is it just quick short-term pop, like everything in the millennial world? Or is it a legitimately improved way of learning? And then they start to sort of discuss it. So what do you guys think? You think Wiki's a thing?
I never used it because it just seems dumb.
It's the only thing I ever use.
There you go. So you have two conflicting millennial opinions on Wiki. This is my take. I use Wiki a fair bit as a starting point. Then I dig into the links and the search and the references, and then I go to UpToDate, and then I'll go. So sometimes just a quick, like, wait a minute, what's this? And the Google, because that's what my generation calls it, pulls often from Wiki as one of the top search results, and it can send you down a particular path. Now, since this is crowd learning, it's pretty clear that it's going to have flaws in it. But at the same time, if it's well-referenced and well-researched and kept up to date, it might be a good thing. Now, the way the article talks, Samir Grover's group talks about this, is they say, well, what's interesting about Wiki is it reduces what they call cognitive load. Now, cognitive load is something this group has studied before. And what it says is, look, when you ask people to do stuff, and we've used the analogy of elephant and the rider before. So elephant being our unconscious sort of processor, emotional engine, intuitive engine, right? That thing doesn't, it can do a lot and it's all unconscious and you're not really asking a lot of it. The rider, the little guy on top, our neocortex that does cognitive reasoning, memory, speech, et cetera, the one that takes tests like this, he can get fatigued really fast. And he or she. And that fatigue is a function of cognitive load. What are you asking him to do? If you paralyze your rider with a lot of choices, it will slow down and the processing slows and it's harder. With medical students, cognitive load, it's kind of a similar thing. If you're asking the brain to do a bunch of stuff cognitively, then it's gonna have less ability to retain and process. So Wikipedia has a very low cognitive load, especially for millennial medical students because they're used to looking at Wiki. It has hyperlinks that you can easily click and then go to the next thing and see what's up. It is reasonably searchable, and it's also in a format that they appreciate, which is crowd edited. So they actually have, I think my opinion is millennials have more belief in the power of the crowd to actually guide truth. Whereas my generation might say, yeah, I don't trust the crowd at all. They're a bunch of criminals and they smell funny.
I once changed acting to say jerking off at the motion publicly.
On Wiki?
Yeah.
How long did that last?
10 minutes.
I actually, you know, the thing about being a millennial who, like, you know, believes in the power of the crowd is like, yeah, I used to believe in democracy until I met some other people, you know?
Mm.
And then I was like, you people suck. I don't trust you to do stuff.
You know, my wife knows me quite well, and she's convinced I'm a terrific misanthrope, that I really don't, like, I have a very small handful of close friends that I can kind of tolerate. But in general, I don't form long, deep relationships with large numbers of people. I would much rather be on my own and with my family and that kind of thing. I think she's right. I think what it is I don't interact well with other egos. Like, the human ego I find to be very horrible. The human condition in general, I find, I hold in awe and reverence. But like, when it's a bunch of egos interacting with each other, it's fatiguing to me. Like, my little rider goes, no, stop. And my elephant just wants to stomp away and cry. So.
See, I always used to take tests with my limbic system. So I just bubble in C for everything because that's just how I felt. I was like, and you know what? I always got 25%.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, the weather in this crop circle is always the same. It's very spooky. It's always, you know, 72 degrees with a 40% chance of rain. So Wiki has a lower cognitive load. It demands less of you than, I don't know what a digital textbook is, but already I'm wondering that this study is using something that nobody uses, unless I'm wrong. I don't know what, you know, if it's just a textbook in digital form, it's how searchable is it? What's the cognitive load? I mean, it's clear that it's going to be higher searching a weird textbook than something like the internet. Because Google, and we were talking about this before, Tom, like Google actually does a lot of the heavy lifting by taking your search term and actually using science on it and then showing you results that are partially commercialized and partially actually quite AI, in an AI sense, quite accurate.
Yeah, it's a very narrow AI, but you know, Google does have the benefit of having all of the search history. I mean, in a way, Google's mission is to find out how you think so that you can just type in potatoes and it'll be like, are potatoes delicious? And you'd be like, that's the link I want to click on.
My elephant wants to click on that link.
Right, so they're pretty good with doing narrow AI in that function.
That makes sense.
So I mean, it's sort of a computer human assisted thing that's happening there.
That was very scientific of you.
Yeah.
By the way, I taught Tom a word today.
Yeah, it was congeniality.
It was constitutively. So I was showing him the new iPhone X, which I now have in my hand as clickbait. The new iPhone X does not show you the percentage of battery remaining. It shows you that little stupid icon with the bar. And I wanted it to show the percentage. And Tom said, no, it no longer does that. You have to swipe down from the top and then it will show you battery percentage right there. And I said, so Tom, it doesn't constitutively display the battery percentage. It's not constitutively active.
And I said, hold on, what's that smarty pants word you just used, convivatorially?
And I showed him the Wikipedia article that explained what constitutive was. And we both learned something. I learned that Wikipedia does work and he learned what constitutively means and then subsequently forgot it and called it congenivalitarily. So that being said, someone said here, Christian Gagne says, digital textbooks are like a PDF version of the paper books. But I imagine they're searchable.
They suck.
Well, that's stupid.
They're just the book, but digital.
So why
it's
even?
It's like, here's the book, yeah? Thanks.
Why even study that?
They have like an Encarta level of link encryption where there'll be like one hyperlink at the bottom. And it'll be like, to learn more about cheetahs, go here. Nobody knows what Encarta is.
The minute you said Encarta, I'm like, you lost 70% of our audience, but I'm with you. Because Encarta is the shit. Wasn't that Microsoft's encyclopedia?
It was like Microsoft's World Book back in like 1997.
That's incredible. Yeah. I had a real Encyclopedia Britannica on my shelf, like multiple volumes. And every now and again as a kid, I'd be like, I'm gonna get my learn on. And I would just pull out like the Z's. I'd be like, what's going on in this world of Z's today?
I used to do that with the dictionary. I'd read through Merriam-Webster and just be like, I'm gonna get through the whole dictionary so I know every word. And then I'd be like, aardvark, I'm done.
Too many A's in that shit. Ain't nobody got time for an aardvark. So I think the bottom line in this study is, well, yeah, if you have a shitty user interface, and you put a lot of cognitive load on learning, then you're gonna learn less efficiently, especially in short-term sense when you're looking at trying to pass a test in the short term and getting quick answers. Now the question is, what's best for long-term depth of knowledge, et cetera? I'm a fan of UpToDate myself. I find it to be very usable. It's a little wordy and long, and you got to dig through to find the gem that you want. But the nice thing is, as you're digging through, you get CME and all this other stuff. So, and again, I wish UpToDate was sponsor of the show, but they're too damn cheap. Actually, we've never asked them. I just happen to like using it. The other day, when I had Dr. Sexy on the show in New York, he was saying, you know, off camera, he was saying, because I said, how do you reconcile the fact that you haven't done medicine for 10 years out in the world with teaching people how to do medicine? And he said, well, I'm a family physician. So if I were a surgeon, yeah, that's a problem because you need 10,000 hours of experience, whatever. But as a family physician, I have access. I think he said this on the show. I have access to UpToDate. And UpToDate can get me at least, you know, 95% of the knowledge of someone who does this regularly. And it's, you know, validated, and there's references that I can look through. So this is the brave new world of knowledge acquisition. You don't necessarily have to know everything, but you have to know how to know everything. And that means being able to do efficient searches, knowing what your resources are, knowing what your limitations are, knowing what you don't know, and then trying to remedy it through efficient access to information. What I like about this study is it says there are other efficient ways to access information that have some stigma associated with them, but maybe we can make them better, and maybe we can use them, and maybe we can at least study more how medical students learn and make it more efficient, because the way we do it now is horseshit. It's a lot of wasted effort and a lot of spinning wheels.
Why don't you do it like Hunger Games style?
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
Spice it up.
You know, like 20 kids enter a dome with drones flying around with deadly weapons. And the crowd sends them obscure medical questions like, what is eye-cell disease? And
you're like, wait, you'll actually like this. Dr. Drew's gonna do a show that is the Hunger Games for medical students. And you know what it's gonna be? He's going to train them like how you were trained. That's considered cruel and unusual punishment nowadays. And he's gonna run them through the ringer of a traditional medical, you know, residency program.
You know, the only thing I hate about that that I didn't think of it and do it first. That's the only thing I hate about that. Dr. Drew, you're a shill bitch, but I love you. I love you. What do you think, Tom Heinemer?
I'd say we wrap it up because we just found out Wikipedia is dope and that people from Canada are called snow Mexicans. And we all learn a new word, conviviatorially. So...
And this show has been constitutively dope from the beginning. Thank you, Z-Pak. Hit share, hit like. Be a help to us by spreading this movement of Health 3.0. Also, look at the link in the description because that's the article we're talking about. Read the primary data. If you think we've interpreted it wrong, yell at us. That's what you're there for. This is the Wikipedia of medicine, bitches. Use it. I love you. iPhone X, we out.
I got nothing funny to say in the show.
Yes, nothing.